The recent tornado outbreak has devastated so many people in the Midwest and the South. 8 Days of Hope is ready to deploy their rapid response ministry to Cave City, Arkansas and Tylertown, Mississippi from March 20th to April 5th in order to help those impacted restore what's been destroyed. If you're 18 or older, you can help. Visit 8daysofhope.com to find out how you can volunteer. This is an urgent need. Visit 8daysofhope.com today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a good morning. It's a beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. And when I got in my car and headed to the church, the sun was shining brightly. And I thought of the scripture verse, John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, what a great passage of scripture to for every Christian to just know that you are held in the hand of Jesus, and the Father puts his hand over the Lord Jesus' hand, and we can never lose our relationship with him. What a Savior we have. Well, let me tell you how the Lord works. This is very, very interesting. So yesterday, after I finished the program, I was thinking to myself, I need to contact my friend Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes, and see when he's coming through town, because he always has a standing invitation on the radio program with me. And then lo and behold, he texted me and he said, "Hey, I'm going to be coming through town, spending the night in Texarkana Monday night. And if you have an opening and love to be on the radio program." So God just worked that together. And across the table from me this morning is my good friend Doyle Dykes. Doyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's always good to be with you. Good to see you. And yeah, I'm thankful for good weather. When I left yesterday, my wife and I had to run an errand and went around. I said, "Well, it's about to come." And she said, "Well, we'll make it quick. You know, we'll get out there and get it done." Started hailing as soon as we went down the block. And after that, it cleared up so nice. And I had a great drive. It was perfect driving weather. You know what I mean? Overcast. And then
You're Cleveland, Tennessee?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, or Cleburne or Cleveland?
Cleveland, just like Ohio. Uh-huh.
So that's 9 hours. How far?
Oh, Lord. You know, it's over 500, about 558 miles from, let's see, I think I'd already, it's over 600 miles. I had to look. I mean, it's a good, let's see, I think it's, I'd have to think about it. I think it's about 7 hours from Haley's, where she used to live, to here, and I'm 3 hours, about 10 hours. I mean, it's a good 10.
Yeah, it's a long, it takes me 8 to get to Nashville.
Okay, so I'm 2.5 on the other side of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to Doyle before we came on the air, and he's been in the music industry and playing his guitar since he was a teenager, 16, 17, professionally. And I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but he's been doing this now for over 50 years and having a great time. And I was telling Doyle that you have to be called to do this because the travel would just wear you out.
It does. And, you know, there have been times where I think, how did I just do that at my age? But God gives us traveling mercies. And like last night when I got in, I mean, you used to put me at this other hotel. Uh-huh. And I was praying because I had a lot of guitars in the car because I love Texas. I come out here a lot. And my friend Kelly, you know, over in Hawkins, does all my guitar work. So I had like 8. My wife said, "How many guitars you have in here?" And some of those, I said, are Kelly's, because he lets me use them on my YouTube thing. And so I thought, I can't carry all these. And I just had a little procedure. I'm not supposed to lift things.
Right.
Because the other one had closed or, you know, sold out. Right. You put me at this other one. And the lady was so nice. She says, "You know what? I have one just came open on the first floor." And this is after, that's about 11:30.
11 o'clock, yeah.
And she says, I'm going to give you my parking space. I didn't have to take anything in.
Oh, wow.
It was right in the front door. Yeah. And so it's just like the Lord orchestrated all this.
Okay, you're hauling a bunch of guitars today.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous leaving those in the car?
Well, I woke up a few times thinking about it, but I thought, you know what? This was just too much of a God thing.
Yeah.
And doing this, I said, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I went out this morning and I had to get something out of the car. I said, thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so a guitar player like yourself, you, guitars are your business. How many guitars do you have at your house?
Oh my gosh. I've gotten rid of so many, like I would get rid of two or three to get one that I wanted. And I still probably have a good 30, 35, something like
that. So you wrote the song Guitar Poor.
Yeah.
And that, do you think that aptly describes how a lot of guitar players are? They always want another guitar?
Yeah. Well, I have friends that are collectors. And I mean, and a lot of buddies of mine that are doing what I've doing, have done it a long time, would end up with anywhere from 80 to a couple hundred guitars. You know, they'll have them in storage.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's kind of an average. You have other guys that are more minimalist, like Eric Johnson. He's a friend of mine. He's a rock guitar player, but he's just a good friend of mine. He's been such a blessing to me. And he lives here in Texas, and he just kind of keeps it down. He just got rid of two or three to get but the guitars he has are very, very valuable.
Okay, you know? So a guy like Tommy Emmanuel, I know he's a good friend of yours. Does he have a bunch of guitars?
Well, I went to his home not long ago, and he had them all sitting out, and he had a bunch of Telecasters. I think he probably had eight, maybe. Uh-huh. I don't know. He may have more in storage. I've never asked him how many, but I don't think he carries a lot because he's on the road continuously. And he'd say, hey, Doyle, play this one, play this one, play that one. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I would think he probably had 20 to 30 in the room, something like that. So he's about like me.
Okay, your hero is Chet Atkins.
He had about 80.
Hit 80 guitars?
I think he had 80 when he died.
You're talking about Chet?
Uh-huh, Chet.
Okay, and he's playing all different ones when he goes on the road, he goes on television and all that?
Yeah.
It's just whatever kind of strikes him at the time?
Yeah, in fact, he was a wonderful guy. He called me over at his office one time, and he said, well, Doyle, I appreciate what you do for the church and for God. And he said, excuse me, coughing a little bit here too, but he said, I have something I think it'd be a blessing to you. And he gave me one of his guitars. And I think it's the guitar he just used on an HBO special. It looked just like it. I was trying to look at the markings on it, different things. And he gave that guitar to me, and I still have it. So he designed instruments with Gibson. And sometimes he didn't know it, but Gibson would send them to me and say, you know, can you play this for a week until before we give it to Chet? I don't think I ever told Chet that. But anyway, that's just from knowing people and being around this so long. And like you say, I'm old. So,
well, you have it. There's a thing on YouTube that I love. It's called Chet Stuff. It was you playing a little, it was just a few minutes, but you're just playing kind of a medley of his stuff.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
Can you do a little bit, just a smattering of what he did? Okay, Doyle, I remember he did a song that's mostly a saxophone, I think it's a saxophone song, that Yakety Axe. Oh.
Yeah. I love this part. Chicken part.
Now, he didn't write that, right? That was a saxophone song.
Boots Randolph, I think, wrote it. I know he had a big hit on it,
right?
And he and Chet played together all the time. Boots Randolph, him and Floyd Kramer and Danny Davis. They had a, I forget what they call that group, but they would go out and do shows together.
This was the thing that struck me about Chet Atkins. He never looked like he was trying. Mm-hmm. It just looked so effortless.
Yeah.
He wasn't sweating anything. I mean, he made some really fast runs, but it never looked like he was moving fast.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how he did that.
Well, you just play for a long time.
Yeah. But, I mean, even I saw a thing with Jerry Reed. He had a song called Strutting.
Yeah, my son plays that. You know, I can't remember how that goes, but...
Yeah, it was an interesting little song. That's it. But he played that on somebody's program, but you could tell he was really concentrating mm-hmm. on it. And Chet never looked like he was concentrating. I mean, he obviously was, but he never looked like that.
Jerry Reed wrote that song, and Jerry would write. It wasn't, his writing was so different. He wrote parts. It was just like movements. And he said, you can't think of it as playing a song. You have to think of each movement. And I've written uh-huh. songs a little bit like that. But Chet would nail them. But then a lot of the early Chet Atkins hits were written by Jerry Reed. You know, like...
That's a Jerry Reed song? Or?
Yeah.
Now, about did Merle Travis write his own stuff?
He wrote a lot of it, and a lot of it he just kind of made his own. You know, a lot of them were like old songs. Walking the Streets. And then he'd take old songs. Bluebell, my bluebell. That's before the ice cream. Now here's the way Chet. Merle.
Heavier.
Yeah. Yeah, just different, a little different style.
Yeah. Now, so all fingered style guitarists, they're going to put Chet up at the top.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the king.
He was the one that really, Merle had like... He was more of a he mixed a lot of blues in too, you know, because the style that he learned he got from the coal mines, and there were a lot of these old blues guys that would move up there from Mississippi and different Tennessee, uh-huh. different areas, you know, and he would just soak in everything he could.
So a lot of bluegrass kind of feel in there.
Well, bluegrass, and it was funny because Muhlenberg County is right next to, what was the county that Bill Monroe was in, the next county over? Oh, I can't think of it now. But they were right next to each other, and so they actually kind of got ideas from some of the same guys, like Luster English, some of those old guys. And so Bill Monroe was influenced by the blues as well as, of course, things from, you know, Celtic music and things like that, I'm sure. But he just sort of mixed it up and made it his own. But it's amazing that fingerstyle guitar was Muhlenberg County, and he was the next county over. Uh-huh. And two different genres in one little area like that.
Yeah.
And then right down the road was Grandpa Jones, you know, and he used Merle Travis on his early recordings.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
We need to go. Things like that.
Yeah. Well, we're interviewing Doyle Dykes. He's my good friend, a guitar legend he's one of the best fingerstyle guitarists in the world. And I count it a great privilege to call him my friend. And so you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're going to continue our discussion with Doyle. And then in the last segment, we'll open it up for your phone calls. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. And so don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my good friend, guitar legend Doyle Dykes. And Doyle has an awesome testimony. He was a young guy growing up in a musical family, and a Christian family, came to know the Lord at a young age, was influenced by your Uncle Doyle,
yes,
who was a guitar player, right?
Yeah, he was.
Okay,
he sure
now
was.
He was a finger picker?
No, he played, just an old faded photograph of you, you know, things like that. Uh-huh. And he played sort of like Gene Autry. In fact, he sang a lot like him, you know.
Did he?
Yeah, and he was great, you know. But I learned songs like, "Won't you ride in my little red wagon?" You know, and later on,
you learned how to spice it up.
Yeah, and so he left his old Martin guitar to me, which was a pre-war D-45, and I gave it to Roy Clark, and he had it for 30 years, and when he passed away, his wife gave it back to me. So
yeah, how cool is that?
Blessing, such a blessing.
Now, I'm assuming Roy had a lot of guitars.
Roy had a lot, yeah. And, you know, he wasn't an avid collector. He just loved guitars. If he'd see one, he'd buy one. And he worked with, of course, Gibson for years, and he went to Heritage, which was the original Gibson factory, and he liked knowing his guitars were made, I guess, at the original place. And so they had a Roy Clark model. So he had that part of him that was his stage guitars. But he just loved old Martins and any kind of old guitar, like, you know, old resonator guitars and banjos. He was a good banjo player.
Yeah, he was. I'm shocked that you don't play the banjo.
I do, actually.
You don't? I've never seen you play it.
Do you not? I don't play it very much. In fact, I have one just like Roy had.
Really,
RB-800, I think it is. Really.
Okay,
nice.
So if you're as advanced as you are on the guitar, that doesn't necessarily translate to the banjo, or does it?
No, I mean, I don't play banjo very much at all. I love it. I would get in spurts where I would really get into the banjo, and I'm going, okay, get a grip. You're a guitar player. This is what you do.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to just kind of put it down a little bit. But because, I just love the banjo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there are a lot of banjo jokes. Like, you know, what's the difference between a banjo and a trampoline? Yeah. You have to take your boots off to jump on a trampoline. But I know there are a lot of jokes about banjo, but banjo is a very difficult instrument to do things like, you know, when you have these players like Bela Fleck, they just took it to a whole different place.
Yeah.
Almost a different genre.
Okay.
Know?
So Andy Lefwich is a friend that you introduced me to, fiddle player that's
great.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
He played with Ricky Skaggs, and he told me, he said, Ricky can play every instrument in the band as good as any of the guys in the band.
Yeah, and he's not kidding. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, now he would say that on fiddle. I've never heard Ricky play fiddle in this like Andy does, you know. Andy is just virtuoso. I mean, he can play things on a fiddle, and Ricky would tell you that, but Ricky can sure enough play a fiddle. I mean, he's amazing, and he can play banjo, and he does clawhammer banjo and things like that that I never could.
But his number one instrument is mandolin or not?
I think it's mandolin, but he's a great guitar player, and I told him, I said, you know, you should keep playing your Telecaster. He's one of my favorite Telecaster players. You know, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you don't play mandolin? I know your daughter does.
She does. Yeah, I don't. I don't play mandolin or fiddle, either one. I love them. You know, but when you get around people like Andy and even Haley, when I'm around her, she just sounds so good. That's her instrument. She loved it when, from the time she got saved, she wanted to play something for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I bought her a little plicket, this little, like a dulcimer, at a Georgia Mountain Fair. And it's made by Tut Taylor. She liked it so much, I thought, well, you know, why don't we get, it was almost like a toy, but I said, why don't you try a mandolin? And so I was on my way back home from a trip, and I stopped by a JCPenney warehouse. They sold things. And I went in, and they had a little global, they call it global JCPenney mandolin. Uh-huh. She still has that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and that's what she started on. And she went to... she went to her school, and within like a couple of weeks, she was playing, and she did this song. Not like this, but... And let's see. I'm sorry, I played the wrong one. That was Water Friend.
Yeah, that's Water
Friend.
That's
a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is.
But this is what she played. And I had played that and recorded it, and I noticed she played it. She asked me to teach her some chords, so I did, and she sang it. Her voice was good for D. And I thought, wow, that's great. That's what the key I played in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went to her little talent show, and she played it in front of everybody and played it by herself.
Yeah.
And about a month later, I was playing at the Chet Atkins Appreciation Convention, and I looked over at her, and I was in the middle. I said, come here. She had never done it with me, and she just started singing. She just has that ability to be able to get up.
Yes.
And I play it, and Amazing Grace. And we had never done it, and I just followed her.
Yeah.
And we ended up doing it, and Chet walked in. In fact, Chet Atkins walked in, and when he opened the door, someone was like, shh. And they saw that it was Chet. They said, oh, come on, Mr. And he never forgot that moment.
Yeah.
He always remembered Haley. How's your daughter? Is she still singing?
How cool.
And we ended up doing that song all over the world. I could tell you some incredible stories how the Lord used her in such an amazing way amazing grace.
Yeah. That is so cool. So just to complete your story, so you get saved at 11, is 11 mm-hmm. years old?
Yes.
And then Barry the Sailor comes to your church.
Yeah.
And he plays fingerstyle guitar. That was the first time you'd heard that kind?
Well, no. I grew up listening to Chet Atkins.
Okay.
But I'd never seen anybody like... It's like a piano, you know, you got your bass, boom, boom, and your little rhythm, and then your lead. So it's like a stride piano player, you know, would play. Somebody said like a gospel guitar or like a gospel piano player. I said, well, that means their left hand doesn't know what their right hand's doing. But he gave me a little lesson like this, and I never forgot it.
Yeah. Well, it took you a while to catch it, right?
Yeah.
To get your thumb independent from the rest of your fingers?
Yeah, he had a little finger picking pattern, and I've taught this all over the world. I even did a tour in China, mainland China, one time for a guitar company. And so, and I would, you know, stick my neck out and talk about the Lord and things like that. What are they going to do? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember showing that. And when I got back, I told Barry, I said, Barry, I showed your fingerstyle lesson. I shared it. It's all over China. So you're going to have all these little kids, you know, that are going to start playing, and all the grown-ups, times, you know, they're going to learn from that. Uh-huh. And so I said, where did you get that? Because I never forgot it. It was just a little thing he showed me. He says, you know, to this day, I don't know. He said, you're the only one that ever talked about it. But he said, I guess that day I was the perfect teacher and you were the perfect student.
Yeah.
And it's just the way the Lord works. He does things.
Well, that's what, once you heard him, then you knew that's what I want to do for the rest of my life.
I felt, you know, that, yeah, that, you know, I can learn to do this. And, you know, of course, at our, you know, Jacksonville, Florida, we always had sailors come in. And this was the first guy. It was so ironic. He went to my dad after church. We'd jam and just have fun singing and picking after church sometimes. Not all the time. But
yeah.
He said, could I play your guitar, Brother Dykes? And so, Dad, yeah, I'll play us something. And then he, that's when he, I went, oh, my Lord. So I ran to my mom as, hey, can we have that sailor over for dinner? I didn't even talk to him yet.
Yeah.
And so we had him over for a meal, and he spent the whole afternoon with me. And so when I was inducted into the Kentucky Thumb Pickers Hall of Fame, which is a real honor, that's right yeah. there in the Merle Travis Center in Muhlenberg County, the first guy I called was him.
Yeah.
And I said, I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for you coming to my house. So how hard is it, Pastor Jeff, to teach a young person, just to spend an afternoon with somebody?
Yeah.
And whether it's the guitar or showing them how to fish. Or what it might, whatever it might be, you can change some a young person's life.
That's pretty cool.
And I wouldn't be sitting here today if I had not been for that.
So how many years ago was that when you got inducted?
Oh, it's been about seven years.
How old is Barry the Sailor?
Barry would be late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was, I was just a teen. It seemed like he was a lot older than me, but I was just 13, something like, so he's about 10 years older than me.
Okay, so when did you, were how old when you first picked up the guitar and started playing it?
I was 11.
Okay, but so 7-8 years old, you're not playing.
I mean, Dad and Mom tried their best. I mean, I took 2 years of piano, but I, you know, for no avail. Mom was talking about, my mom's 97. I talked to her twice yesterday.
Yeah.
For a long time. And so anyway, she said, yeah, I remember all those years of selling Avon so you could take the guitar or those piano lessons to no avail. But she said, but you stuck with the guitar, son, and you've done well. And she, when your mama says something like that.
So you really didn't fall in love with the guitar until he came, until Barry came.
I didn't fall in love with the guitar until I got saved. When I got saved, I remember, literally, I still remember it, Pastor Jeff. I turned around in my chair, and I just knelt down, and I had received Christ, I think, that day. I mean, when I really knew in my knower that I was saved. I always had a
knowledge.
Doubt. You know, I said, I'd say, Lord, save me, Lord, save me. But I, when I said, Lord, I give you my heart, and I just said, Lord, come into my life, and I just said, give me a job to do, and I'll always tell people about you. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And I raised my hands to him, not knowing that those hands are, I mean, here am I am 70.
Right.
There are still, you know, still using my hands for him. And but he's been so faithful. And I like my mama says, I couldn't live, wouldn't want to live without him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so I was kind of testing you before the program and just hitting you with, listen to this and see if you can play it. And there's not very many things you can't listen to and figure out what the chords are or what the notes are and play it.
It would take a while. I mean, I remember playing this song by Josh Groban. Starts in one key and then the next thing you know, you're in a different key.
Yeah.
Different key. It just sneaks up on you.
Yeah. Now, is that to be played on a classical guitar?
Yeah.
Do you have one of those?
I have two of them in a car.
Oh, do you really? Okay.
But they're electric nylon string guitars like Chet, similar to what Chet had designed. But this guy took it, even Chet said he made a better mousetrap. His name was Kirk Sand. He died a year ago in March, a year ago. Uh-huh. By the way, April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't believe it's the first day of April.
First of April.
Yeah.
So... that's exciting. Okay, so with all the guitars you have, if somebody said, Doyle, you can only keep two.
Well, that would be the old Martin that I have. Oh, that'd be hard to say. Can you say three?
Okay, three.
Okay, my Olson from James Olson.
The first Olson you got? Or?
Yeah, the one he made for me. Uh-huh. It has a white rose on it. And then my Taylor with a white rose on the headstock. And that was a Doyle Dykes model, Taylor. And yeah, those three, I think, would be the most. Because the Martin is not only a great guitar, of course, it's so sentimental. And the Olson is probably the best in the world of that type of guitar. Mm-hmm. And then the Taylor has my DNA in it. It is a stage guitar. If I was going to come to your church and play, which I have, yeah, but I would no doubt bring that guitar,
yeah,
to the stage. You know, it's one of those things. You ever thought, you know, you don't have to think about anything. You've done your work, just like a message. Mm-hmm. You're not having to think about it.
Right.
You know,
it's kind
it
of
just
ingrained.
Flows. Yeah. Yeah, it's ingrained in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about one. You have a little a song where you add this little piece of Batman.
Oh, yeah.
You know the Batman, and you have this weird chord that you play.
Yeah. I call that my Batman chord, but it also double for my Guy Noir.
Oh, okay.
Or FBI. Whatever.
Yeah, you throw that into a particular song. I'm trying to think.
Me and Jesus and my old guitar.
No, I think it's Country Fried Pickin'.
Oh, you know, it's, no, yeah, it is. Country Fried Pickin'. You know my songs better than me. Then I go.
Well, we're listening to Doyle Dykes, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll open the phone lines to take your calls. If you have a question for Doyle or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And so give us a call, and let's talk. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God, so please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes. And if you want to find out more about Doyle, you can go to his website, doyledykes.com. And then Doyle does something on YouTube that's really been a blessing to many, many people, and that's his Sunday String Along. So Doyle, tell us about that.
Well, it started off, during the pandemic, and I was helping a church that the pastor had been very ill, and the Lord just spoke to me, you're going to be doing this for a while. And so I helped him out several weeks, and I would just go down and minister at his church. And he had it open, and he did all the things you're supposed to do. And the Lord just spoke to my heart to start a YouTube program, because I wasn't on the road all the time. Uh-huh. And just share it, because I already had a channel. I didn't even know it during that time. My daughter said, well, you already have like 600 subscribers, and now we have thousands, right. I think almost 30,000.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, I didn't even know I had a channel. I was just doing little guitar things, and I thought, well, why not just share my heart?
Yeah.
And so I came up with a little, catchy thing, Sunday String Along. And it has turned out. I mean, we have several thousand people that watch it every Sunday. Uh-huh. And Monday too. What it goes, uh-huh. You can watch it anytime you want to. But it has been such a blessing, and some of the comments that we see, and we pray for people all the time.
Yeah.
We pray for those that watch the String Along, and it's kind of become a little community. It's not a substitute for church,
I'll
let them know that.
Sure.
In fact, I spoke about the church this past Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, I will build my church. And so anyway, I go to a lot of different kinds of churches, but I'm excited to see that, that we're growing, and, we are the Christianity. People are thinking, we're not as big as Muslims or something like that, but actually we are. Christianity is the largest,
right.
As they say, religion in the world. But I believe God wants to use us in everything that we do. And so if I can use a guitar and whatever and just share Christ and share mm-hmm. the word, I'm going to do that. And that's why it started, and we just continued on. And I think I was program 176 this mm-hmm. past Sunday. And then my daughter started a thing called Haley's Mandolin Ranch House. And I was just joking around. I said, well, call it Haley's Mandolin Ranch. She said, I like that. And so if you want to watch that, and my son-in-law actually plays upright bass, and she plays a mandolin, so it's funny. When they come out, they've been here.
Yeah, yeah.
They play the mandolin, and she plays the smallest thing you can play, and he plays the biggest thing. And then my granddaughter sings on there, and they have critters. She comes out sometimes. She came out with a snake the other day.
Uh-oh.
Or a big old centipede that,
like
the kids
Ellie Mae Clampett.
Yeah, they have all kinds of critters, and she has chickens. And anyway, it's a blessing. It's an outlet for her to be able to use and use her gift for the Lord. And she shares a good word.
Okay, so all your kids are musical.
Yes, they are. In fact, my son's a really great guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And he started, I was proud of him. He played at two different churches on Sunday. With a friend of ours, Paul Wilson is a singer. He has he has sort of a country Appalachian channel called The Blind Pig and the Acorn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fierce Christian, loves Jesus. And he had the guy on the other day that his great-grandfather wrote, let's see. Egypt was once my home, I was a stray. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I'm living in Canaan now. Uh-huh. Happy Gibbons living on Canaan. Well, his great-grandfather wrote that, and he had him and told the whole story about how he wrote the song.
Uh-huh.
And then he contacted me the other day. He said, I found out we're cousins, so maybe I'm related to that guy. My grandma was from Ellijay, Georgia, and uh-huh. that's not too far from where we live. And so anyway, Caleb's really connected with him. And so he's playing, using his gift. And Haley also, she leads worship at this church, her and her husband. And I'm real proud of the way she uses her mandolin. And, mm-hmm. and even on some of those contemporary things, his goodness is running after me.
Yeah.
She plays that mandolin.
Yeah.
All my life you have been faithful.
You know, and I love it.
Okay, so can Caleb, can he keep up with you on fingerstyle?
Oh, you know what? He plays some fingerstyle guitar stuff. He studies it, and he plays some of that Jerry Reed stuff that I never did learn. I mean, Jerry Reed did such a great job, I thought, you know.
Yeah.
And I started writing my own tunes, you know, and I didn't concentrate. And I should, because you learn when you're playing somebody like Jerry. But he plays that strutting as good as anybody I've ever heard.
Oh, good. And Tommy Emmanuel plays that.
Yeah, I think he does. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's probably what got Caleb. Because he loves Tommy.
Uh-huh.
And but I've been writing a lot of my own tunes and stuff too, and you know, it's a forever thing. And so Caleb was showing me something, and I said, are you writing a song? He said, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, then to go, you know, something. Anyway, and I'm always in. I'll just pick up a guitar and
just
the other day.
Just what sounds good.
Yeah. So what do you call that? I said Sunday string along.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Roger on the line from Arkansas. Roger, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I enjoy the music.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
I had a comment for your guest there. My dad was given a guitar. This has been 40 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was an 016 Martin.
Yeah,
and it had a three-digit serial number in the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
Had a wooden case. The handle was in the side of the case instead of the edge of the case, and it had Spanish type keys on it. And it was a real small box. It wasn't very big.
That's old.
Did you ever hear one like that?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that had to be pre-20s, I would think. I had one that dated back in the '20s. It was a '18, which is very similar to that. Just a little bit difference in the trim or something. But those are great, very sought after guitars.
That this one was made before they moved to Nazareth, Pennsylvania, is when they was still in Godwin, New York.
Oh my Lord! Well, let me know if you want to get rid of it.
No,
you
sir.
Got you something there, brother.
Actually, he don't have it anymore. The guy gave it to him. He had some frets fixed on it, and he turned around and gave it back to him.
Oh well, that's a good thing, though. The Lord will bless him for that. You know. When it comes down to it, it's all, we're just, you know, the Lord just kind of gives us guardianship over these things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate you calling in.
Great story.
And okay, so Doyle, on an old guitar, does it start warping? Are there problems with it as it ages?
It can. You know, a lot of the early Martins, you would have to do a neck reset. And my friend Kelly over in Hawkins does that all the time.
You know,
so it's not a huge deal for somebody that understands how to do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would never attempt that. But the neck gets out of whack. And nowadays they have, like this guitar here has a truss rod in the neck. This is a brand new guitar. I just got this from Taylor. But if you take good care of it, though, you always hydrate your guitar. There's a little device that you can put in the sound hole during the winter when the heaters are on, or if you're out in, you know, where I'm going, Abilene, you know, I'll give it a drink of water.
What does that do? Put a mist in there, or what does it do?
No, it's just a little sponge, basically. You can make them. Just take a little baggie, put some holes in it, take a little sponge, you know, like you'd clean the house with, make sure it's clean,
uh-huh.
and our new one, and then wring it out, just, you know, wet it and wring it out. And put it in the bag and let it hang on the strings and inside the guitar. You'd be surprised how much better your guitar sound if it's
really
hydrated. Oh, yeah.
How often do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, not all the time, but I'm pretty much in the winter, especially because I live in a very humid area. I mean, it's, you know, 50% is great for, you know, on a guitar, but you know, when it gets lower than that, 30, 20, you know, it can get dry.
With all your travels over these 50 plus years playing, have you had a guitar get smashed?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I years ago I had I think I've had more than one, but I've been very, very fortunate on that. I really have.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for that. What I do when I check a guitar too is I put it in a case, but then I'll put a soft case over that, and they tend to take better care
if it's a soft case.
If it's a soft case, even though it's over another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it just seems like they do.
Yeah, I've seen some horrible videos of how some of those baggage handlers take care of stuff.
Yeah, James Taylor, I don't know him. I know his brother, Livingston, but James has had some of his Olsons, and those are, you know, the one, like I said,
right,
that James made me. And James Olson told me, he said, man, he brought it in here and it was so smashed up, Doyle, he's like putting toothpicks together. But I did, and it's the one he plays on stage. He's amazing. He's a master at his art.
Yeah.
And by the way, James Olson loves the Lord with all of his heart.
Yeah.
And I asked him one time, where'd you get, remember I said it was the best guitar of that kind in the world? And Bob Taylor would tell you that too. I said, where'd you get that idea? He said, Doyle, it was divinely inspired. It just came to me one day.
Yeah.
And some of my other friends that are luthiers to say he got it right the very first time. It's amazing.
What makes his guitars better than others?
The way this voice, and this would be a similar guitar, and it's not too boomy. It's not a bluegrass guitar.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's very similar to.
Okay, so that Taylor you're playing right there, how much would that cost?
You know, I don't know. Probably 35,
okay,
something like that, I would think. Somewhere in there.
Okay, so when they had the Doyle Dykes Taylor guitar,
mm-hmm,
which was several years ago when you were repping,
yes,
for Taylor, that was a $5,000 guitar?
It was $5,000. 25 years ago, it was $5,000. And it has a white rose on the headstock. So, it was pricey. It has a lot of abalone trim. It's a beautiful guitar. But it's the best stage guitar I've ever had, bar none, of any of them I've ever had. And I even had signature guitars with other companies.
Uh-huh.
And they were good. I mean, they were not the same. They were different. They were good in their own way. But nothing has ever fit me, I don't think, as good as that Taylor, you know.
Yeah, beautiful guitar. Mm-hmm. Well, we have Kay on the line from Texas. Kay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you very much. And Doyle, I got to hear you play at the Guitar Sanctuary in McKinney, Texas.
Yeah, and what a beautiful place. Oh, it's a heaven.
Yeah.
It's like a little piece of heaven there.
Yeah. But my question is just about music and, you know, if you've thought about that, I'm sure you have, but how does, you know, that it's such a special thing. It just lasts as long as you hear it, but it can just echo in your soul, and about how that God gave us that gift, and how does he use it in you and others? Your thoughts.
I think he gives us divine inspired ideas, just like he did with James Olson designing that guitar. God designs things through all of us, and he'll give us direction. You know, the Bible says, you know, if we'll just submit our ways to the Lord, all that we are, you know, he will, I saw one translation, he will cause even our thoughts to become agreeable to his will. That's a pretty powerful statement, but that's in Proverbs. And so I believe he'll direct you and guide you and lead you if you ask him to. And also in Psalms 37, it says, if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord. And that also means to make yourself soft and pliable. So keep yourself pliable, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll place desires in you. You may be going and playing your guitar in a place that you never would have thought. You know, so I'm over here this rest home or a hospital or, you know, something like that, assisted living or at your church or wherever it might be. So God will use you if you ask him to.
Amen. Well, it's been a pleasure to have Doyle Dykes on the program today. And like I said, you can find out more. Go to DoyleDykes.com or just type his name into YouTube and you can find his Sunday string-alongs along with lots of other concerts and things that he did. And so thanks for calling in today. I'm sorry we didn't get to Nancy in Texas or Herb in Arkansas, but thank you for listening and thank you for calling in. This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or
America. You need a strict special disorder.